And now we'll move to the this, Mike. Thanks for coming today.
Good morning, Chair Imason, State Forester Lebowski, and Board of Forestry. It's a pleasure to be here today, and I was hoping to bring, for the record, Mike Clossy, Director of Forestry with the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. I was hoping to bring copies of the new manual, wire-bound and published. It's still at the printer, so what you get is a photocopied version in a three-ring binder, but the pictures are the same, the words are the same, and it's a start. So we'll have the final manual, will be week after next. They promised it for tree school, which is March 24th. So we will have them, and we'll have lots available for the stewardship foresters and the staff. Inside the notebook is a copy of my PowerPoint, just because it has page number references, which I think will help. So this is the third edition of the Oregon Forest Protection Laws. The first one was done in 2002, then 2012, and now 2017. And we have enough money, we're printing 5,000 of them. So back to the previous discussion, 5,000 is a 5-year supply. So we can't change the rules for 5 years because we got the book. So just take that in mind. So in charge of who, in form of who is OFRI, you know who we are. We're a state agency whose mission is to educate Oregonians about our forests. And one of the ways we do it is to work with landowners. And this illustrated manual has been a huge help in doing that. And I get to be the author of the third edition, but I have to give credit to Bob Logan, who did the first, and then Paul Adams from OSU, who did the second. And, you know, you build on the success of others. So in terms of the changes, and that's all I'm going to talk to you about is the changes, there's 8 chapters in the manual, and we made changes in 6 of the 8. In the first chapter, the introduction, not much. Planning a timber harvest is where the huge changes were, because this is where the SSBT rules part was. So that was a huge change. Little bit in doing a timber harvest, nothing in reforestation, quite a bit in fire and chemicals, because one of the things that we covered was the redefinition of the industrial forest protection codes, and that's all in there, the levels. Nothing in roads or streams crossing or other considerations, and then quite a bit in the appendix, as you'll see, because one of the features when Bob Logan first developed this is for each of the riparian rule types of streams, we have a general prescriptions page, and with this, the new rules, there are 10 different possibilities for SSBT, and we have a page for each. So there's quite a bit in there. So what I'm going to do in this presentation is just kind of whiz through where the changes are, a little bit of what they are, open for questions, and then see where we go from there. So the big thing in the introduction is in 2012, that was pre-ferns. So we didn't have anything about that. So we've totally updated our discussion of notification of operations and written plans using ferns as the way to do it. And big help from ODF folks on this to get it done. But I think we've done a good job of summarizing it. The next really big thing is in chapter 2, the idea of planning a timber harvest. And this is on page 20, the table 2-3 that shows the riparian area, riparian management area widths. And so we've added SSBT and relief SSBT. So you can see right off that, you know, we've got 5 stream types instead of 3 stream types. So that increases the complexity. But again, one of the things as we develop this is we use the rules, which are always very useful. But in this case, they're extremely useful because most of the tables and a lot of the information came straight out of the rules. And then we just had to kind of make it into more plain English to get it across. But pretty easy. This is the only new chart in the whole book. We have quite a number of new tables, but this chart shows the new feature of the SSBT is we still have the 0 to 20 foot from high water level where there's no harvest at all, but rather than a a outer zone of the RMA where, you know, you can kind of take what you want, where you want, as long as you leave enough. The new SSBT rules require that within the inner zone, there's the no-cut harvest zone 0 to 20, then there's the inner zone, in this case for a medium, is 20 to 50, and the outer zone 50 to 80, and there are specific levels of both basal area and trees per acre that need to be left in both. So in this diagram, which is for a 200-foot long section, what I had our artists do is basically, you can see the in the no harvest zone, all the trees are there, what would be a typical 200-foot zone. Then in here, all the stumps show which trees were cut, all the trees show the trees that were left. And you can see we did this not quite at the minimum, but we probably took 2/3 of the harvest from the outer zone and left more of the leaf trees in the inner zone to kind of show how it's likely to be carried out. But again, just an idea. Then the real meat of it is into the big description. And this we added 4 pages to talk about the SSBT prescriptions. And these two tables that we have, both this one, table 2-8 and 2-9, came right out of the rules. So it was pretty handy the way it was set up. And just to call to your attention, the things that are different about these than medium and small type F. First of all, the geographic region, as you know, is Coast Range, South Coast, Interior, and Western Cascades. So it's just for those regions. It's just for medium and small. There is no large type SSBT. That's treated the same as a type F. We have 500-foot long stream segments. In all the type F, type N, type D, all of the descriptions of basal area requirements are based on 1,000-foot stream segments. But here, wanting, again, less gaps, the rules call for 500-foot stream segments. Then there's both a basal area requirement overall. So for the total RMA outside of the 20 feet, you need to, for a medium, you need to leave 69 square feet. But then at least 18 of that has to be in the 20 to 50 feet, and at least 18 has to be in the 50 to 80 feet. The other thing is, in addition to the basal area requirement, there are trees per acre requirement. So this 69 square feet must be in at least 15 trees, at least 7 in the outer zone and 7 in the inner zone. So once you think about it, it makes sense, but it's a little different look than the other tables. And I think this is where some people are going to have some challenges. But I'm teaching this at tree school, and I know this is where we'll spend half of the time talking about this stuff. Then we have a similar table, again, right from the rules on the relief. And we do have a pretty good section in there explaining what we mean by relief. But the big thing when it comes down to the table is if you qualify for relief, your RMA is 70 feet and 50 feet rather than 80 feet and 60 feet. And it apportions the basal area required is proportionally smaller. So it's pretty straightforward. But again, it's kind of a new look for our book. We tried to make it look a lot like the type 1, type F stream tables. But obviously, it's a different beast. And this is where I think most of the complications happen. So that was our biggest change. Then another thing we found, and this was, again, you don't know who uses your information, but this table 2-19 is a table that helps landowners and loggers and foresters know how big the downwood has to be. The requirement is that you have to leave 2 down logs. And so if you have a 10-cubic-foot log, that counts as 1. If you have a 20-cubic-foot, it counts as 2. So these are given log lengths. This is what the diameter is to make 10 feet and what the diameter is to make 20 cubic feet. The table in the old book was derived empirically. Bob Logan went out and measured a bunch of logs on the ground, and it wasn't consistent at all. There was no uniform taper. So to make this new table, I worked with Doug McGuire of OSU, who's the best mensurationist I know, using Smalian's log rule, and came up with a standard taper for Douglas fir in Western Oregon. And so these should be pretty consistent. You know, if we go to court, I'd want Doug as my witness. But it's, you know, the changes aren't huge, but it's just amazing what difference it makes if you really get scientific rather than just empirical. So this is a pretty minor change, but this is one of the biggest pieces of work to get this done. Another big change, and here I need to thank Jennifer Weichel for really leading this section, is with the change in the bald eagle protection, the delisting, we fall back on the requirements, protection requirements of the Bald and Golden Eagle Restoration Act. And the big thing is, since they're no longer a listed T&E species, we protect the nest sites, and this diagram shows the nest tree in here, you know, minimum of 300 feet, 330 feet around it. Then you don't operate within 600 feet. Don't let a helicopter come within 1,000 feet. But in the old thing, in the old rules, in addition to the nesting sites, there were roosting sites were protected, roosting resource sites. That's no longer in there. So it was a simplification, and we actually saved a page. So it was some good. So this, again, huge help from Jennifer to get this. The other new thing, and this was suggested by Ryan Gordon, who had worked with Tammy Cushing at OSU, they have three new fact sheets out. Actually, they have four of them, one on choosing your contractors. So they have one on choosing the logging contractor. They have one on choosing a reforestation contractor, choosing a spray contractor, and choosing an accountant. Well, the logging contractor and the spray contractor fit right in. The reforestation would have, but it wasn't ready yet. So what we did was took the OSU sheet and put it on the tab where you go. So in the tab that begins section chapter two on doing a timber harvest, chapter three, this is where you would hire your logger to do the timber harvest. We have the OSU fact sheet just put right on our tab, didn't take any more space. And again, it gets many people, this may be the first publication they've ever used to really learn about forestry. So we wanted to use as many entrees into the forestry education system as we did. So we got permission from OSU to include these, and we'll add the reforestation one next time. But it was a real good thing, and I didn't even know this was happening. So again, by working together with ODF, Ryan Gordon pointed this out to us. Similar, this is the fire and chemicals, and just to show you here, it's on the front side and the back side, exactly the same information as on the OSU sheet, except no photo. The next big change, and this was very much driven by Tom Fields of the fire division and the work he did last summer getting the word out to people. As you all know, the wording and the naming of the fire industrial fire precaution levels has changed. Level one is now called, I don't seem to be getting the thing, but you can read that. Level one is now called fire season rather than closed season. Level two, limited shutdown rather than partial hoot owl, which I think from a vernacular speaking, to lose the term partial hoot owl, that's as huge. We don't have that anymore. We have restricted shutdown. And then complete shutdown, which was generally general shutdown. One of the things just in visiting with Tom and visiting with contractors out in the field is simplification, although it may not be significant, it's very good for communication. So along with that, on page 89, for all of the requirements during fire season, there were minor changes. The huge change is we used to have this table on the fire hand fighting tools on the site, dependent on your crew site. You had to have so many shovels, so many Pulaskis. That's gone away, and we just have a rule that you have to have a hand tool for every crew member you've got, and then supplemented with what's on the truck. So pretty minor change, but again, a good simplification. The next big area, and this was from the legislation adding the buffer around inhabited dwellings. So on our table 5.1, which used to have all of these are all the buffers that you need for any kind of application of herbicides, fungicides, or fertilizers, we added the inhabited dwelling or school row, and for aerial, the 60 feet, no buffer specified on all the others. So again, a pretty important change. There's obviously also a couple paragraphs in the book talking about this. And then the reference to the law. We do that for every one of the big pieces in here. There's a section in the back. We say, for further information, see page 189 and 190. And on page 189 and 190 is a list of all of the appropriate laws so that people can look it up. Another big change, there's a section in the other considerations chapter on page 140 where we talk about other things that people want to know. Again, this book is often the first entree into the forestry education system, so we want to include stuff that's going to be very useful. So Ryan Gordon rewrote this set of pages for us about the assistance for family landowners, because it's quite a bit different than it was 5 years ago, and that was barely changed then. So this is up to the minute, and we added a whole bunch on other resources and information. So I think it's much better. And then the final big set of changes, on starting on page 160, is where we have these general prescription requirements for stream RMAs. And as you saw with the table 2-8 and 2-9, especially for the SSBT, when you're considering four things at once, it gets pretty complex. So what these prescription requirements allow us to do is, for each situation, there's one page that summarizes. So if you have a medium SSBT and you want to do the partial harvest prescription, boom, you go right there, and there's a page that describes it. So these were the 10 new ones that were added, medium and small for prescription 1, which is no harvest, 2, partial harvest, and 3, the north side buffer, and then relief prescriptions for the no harvest and the partial harvest, and then the same for small. So it ended up being 10 new pages. And this is an example of the one for the no harvest. The other thing that I didn't fit in there, but each of these pages now have a little map of the state of Oregon, and it shows which areas are included in it, which was something that, I don't know who came up with it, but they said, you know, if you had a map, this would be a lot simpler. So it was very easy to put a map. So this is the example for the medium SSBT prescription 1, which is the no harvest. It talks about, again, in the no harvest, we're leaving all the trees, but the target is 69 square feet. So if you would have more than 69 and you wanted to harvest, you could go to the partial harvest. But if you only have 69 or less, you're legally have to go to the no harvest. So again, it shows what we can do and what we can't do. Similar for the partial harvest. Now here it gets a little more complicated because you have the options, but it shows again, for the no harvest zone, you got to leave all the trees 0 to 20 feet. But in the inner zone, you have to leave at least 18 square feet of basal area, outer zone 18, and the total 69. And then the same for trees. So hopefully this, in the old versions, made it very, very simple for people. Hopefully it still will. But when you get something like this one, is the north side buffer, which is real interesting for the SSBT. Here, you only have a 40-foot wide buffer strip on the north side, but you leave everything. But the key is you have to have at least 200-foot long segment. So if it's only 150 segment that's running east-west, you can't do a north side buffer. So here, in most cases, you know, streams don't just run east and west. They won't meander all over. So it gets a little tricky for how this gets applied. But again, for the segments that are north side buffer, this summarizes it, I think, pretty well, and makes it simple. So in review, the major changes that are in the book have to do with e-notifications and ferns in Chapter 1, the SSBT prescriptions and relief in Chapter 2, the down log and minimum length also in Chapter 2, bald eagle changes in Chapter 2, then the addition of the fact sheets on choosing the right logger at Chapter 3 tab, and choosing the right chemical operator at Chapter 5 tab, the changes in the industrial fire precaution levels, and then the 10 new general prescriptions. So it doesn't sound like much, but believe me, this took 6 months of my life. But, you know, Julie Woodward and I are down as the authors, but the real key to making this work is the great help we had from ODF, OSU, OFIC, and AOL. So, you know, listed here is our advisory group, which really means these are the people that helped write part of the chapters, reviewed everything, made sure we had it. And out of these folks, I think I got to give the biggest call out to Keith Baldwin. Just incredible the amount of work he did for us. And then I said we were printing 5,000 of these. We only had enough money to print 2,500. But ODF was able to come up through one of their Forest Service grants with enough money that we're going to be able to do 5,000. So I think it's a win-win-win, other than I don't have the books yet, but I will. And you will each get one, and the stewardship foresters will have boxes of them. So, questions?
Thanks very much, Sybil.
Great, the artist is amazing.
Yeah.
Who is that?
The original artist is, most of these things were from our work done when Bob Logan did the first one. His name is Ed Jenny, and he's still working Bozeman. But the new one that we had, the one new picture that I think we were able to follow it pretty well. This is a little slow. I think you may need a new battery. There. Nope. That's an old one. And this is the new style. But this was done by a local Eugene artist named Erin Poor. And she just did an incredible job, I think.
So. My question is, are you going to have this? I'm sure the answer is yes. You're going to have this as like an app or something where people can just
What we do is we thought about an app and we thought about using it as an ebook, but it just gets pretty prohibitive. So what we've done instead is we have it on our webpage on the OFRI main webpage, OregonForest.org, and also on the Know Your Forest. But we have each of the 8 chapters as individual PDFs. So they're like only about 4 megabytes. So you can download them. Even I've downloaded them to my phone and you can look at them. But especially the one on the prescriptions, that's really slick to be able to look at those on a tablet. So, and I know the stewardship foresters all use tablets now, so they'll all have them on their iPads. But we looked at an app and an ebook, and it just, boy, it gets so complicated. We're not ready to do it.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you on behalf of the department for our long-term partnership, going all the way back to really starting out with the landscape scale projects, a competitive grant from the uniform plan all the way through the educational partnership. This is really nice work. So thanks on behalf of the department.
Thank you. You're welcome. All right.
Thanks very much. We will now take a break until 11:25.